Hello, today is August the 6th of 2026. This is part one of the pantograph. My name is Kayla Verhoeven. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to go ahead and start off with Downtown Bloomington, a modern take on General Store. Main Trade features eclectic vintage finds with local artists by Matisse Janique 2 hours ago. Zach and Tori Zwenig talk about Main Trade, which they describe as a modern general store offering vintage finds, fair trade goods, and local makers on Thursday, July 16th of 2026 at 105 West Jefferson Street in Bloomington. In the photos, it shows the two standing together in the store and there by Clay Jackson. Downtown Bloomington. Zach and Tori spent years talking about opening their own shop someday. They assumed it would happen after their four children were grown and retirement was closer. Then, a downtown Bloomington storefront turned the long-term idea into an immediate opportunity. After looking for a space downtown and putting the search on hold, the couple received a call from a broker. They toured 105 West Jefferson Street, the former home of Hanger Art Company and Haphazard Press, the next morning. Within 5 to 10 minutes, Zach said, the couple agreed. This is the place. The open main floor, the tall ceilings, and finished lower level gave the couple room for the retail concept and the community of vendors Tori Zwanzig hoped to assemble. They gained access to the building April 15th and opened Main Trade on June the 5th. The Zwanzigs described the business as a quote-unquote modern general store, combining curated vintage furniture, home decor, and clothing with locally made goods, hand-selected gifts, and nostalgic snacks. It's our modern take on a general store, a little bit of everything, Tori said. The name is more than a nod to old-fashioned retail. Tori said she was drawn to the idea of a neighborhood general store where customers knew the owners and the inventory reflected what the community needed. Main Trade does not carry the milk and eggs associated with an earlier era, but its shelves offer a broad mix from vintage jewelry and furniture to candy necklaces and small gifts. The concept also brings people together, the couple's backgrounds and interests. Zach Zwanzig, who grew up in Bloomington, spent nearly a decade in corporate work after earning a degree in social work. He said he wanted work that allowed him to spend more time with people and in the community. I just never really felt like it was my fit, Zach said, of the corporate world. Tori, who grew up in Argenta, operates Soulhaven Interiors and has experience in interior design, retail merchandising, and large window installations. She also ran a small vintage shop online. Opening Main Trade, she said, brought together the work she enjoys and the couple's longtime interest in thrifting and antiquing. It's kind of bringing what we're both good at together to create this, Tori said. Much of the main floor inventory is sourced by the Zwanzigs through estate sales, auctions, garage sales, and nearby small towns. Each piece is chosen with attention to quality, material, style, and how it fits into the store as a whole. Tori noted that the store is not a thrift shop. Nothing's donated, she said. It's very carefully sourced and thought out. Furniture, clothing, and decor from different decades are arranged together, reflecting the layered approach Tori uses in interior design. Rather than building a display around a single period, she said, the goal is to mix unlikely pieces in a way that makes them work together. The couple also wants prices to remain attainable. Tori Zanzwig said she compares vintage furniture with what shoppers might pay for new pieces at big box stores while considering construction, material, and condition. Solid hardwood pieces, she said, have become harder to find in new furniture without paying significantly more. They don't make them like they used to, and that is the truth, Tori said, repeating the store's tagline. Main Trade continues below street level, where individual spaces house local vintage sellers, artists, makers, and specialty collections. The finished basement was a deciding factor for Tori because of her original business plan, which included a vendor market. She said she wanted the lower level to be a destination place with something for different kinds of shoppers and kind of a community of creatives. Vendors went through an application process with an emphasis on handmade, collected, vintage, and art-based offerings. The lower level includes artwork, vintage clothing, books, handmade soaps, menswear, records, plants, and other collections. Although each vendor has a distinct identity, Tori said that the selection process was intended to create a consistent, curated atmosphere throughout the building. First-time visitors Jessica Davis and her brother Jeremiah Moss said the range of merchandise made the store feel larger than they expected. Moss compared the lower level to a miniature mall with separate areas for art, clothing, lamps, and other goods. Davis, who grew up in Bloomington but now lives elsewhere, learned about the opening on Facebook and stopped in while visiting town. She bought vintage loafers, clothing, and small gifts for her children. "It's a vintage lover's dream," Davis said. "You can get lost in there." Davis and Main Trade also gives people another reason to spend time downtown during the day. She had long associated the area primarily with nightlife, but said shops, restaurants, and other daytime businesses are changing that picture. "It brings people here during the day and just more traffic," Davis said. The vendor market also has created a new opportunity for artist and curator Jan Brandt, who moved her gallery into Main Trade's lower level after considering whether to downsize or retire. At her previous Main Street location, Brandt said low foot traffic made it very difficult just to justify the rent. She said the new location brought more visitors through her space in 2 days than she might have seen in 6 or 7 months at her former gallery. She has also met shoppers from Peoria, Champaign, and Springfield who learned about Main Trade through social media. "I thought it would be good, but it's been phenomenal for me," Brandt said. "It's not just about shopping." Brandt said her visitors also respond to the feeling of entering a distinctive space. Her gallery blends her colorful, botanical-inspired artwork with new vintage and new goods. She plans to help curate future artist shows at Main Trade, supporting the owner's goal of making the building a gathering place for local creatives rather than only a place to shop. The community focus is central to the Zwanzig's plans for their first year. They want to keep inventory changing each week, build relationships with shoppers and other downtown businesses, and host collaborations, dinners, do-it-yourself nights, and other events. The couple said neighboring businesses have welcomed Main Trade as a complement rather than a competitor because each destination can bring more people downtown. Other owners could have viewed Main Trade as quote-unquote competition, Zach said, but instead approached the couple with the attitude that we're all good for each other. The early response has been more intense than the Zwanzigs expected. Zach Zanzwig said customers frequently tell them that they're excited to have another place to shop downtown. Some older visitors recall when downtown Bloomington was the region's main meat retail center before much of the shopping shifted outward. Tori said the comment she hears the most is simpler. "We needed this." Main Trade was designed for its building and its city, the couple said. They do not plan to replicate the concept in another community or turn it into a chain. "This is for Bloomington. This is for downtown," Tori said. You can visit facebook.com/maintrade for more information and updates. Moving on now to some news in the Capitol. Home car insurance rate hike law was okayed. State agency given review and approval authority by Peter Hancock, Capitol News, Illinois, 2 hours ago. Springfield. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed legislation Tuesday that will give the Illinois Department of Insurance authority to review and approve rate changes for homeowners and automobile policies. It's not asking too much to say to insurance companies, if you're telling your customers that rate hikes are necessary, you should be able to prove why, Pritzker said at a bill signing ceremony in Chicago. Prior to the bill signings, Illinois was one of only two states, with Wyoming, that did not exercise regulatory control over insurance rates. The new laws, which take effect on July the 1st of 2027, prohibit companies from charging quote-unquote excessive, inadequate, or unfairly discriminatory rates, and prohibit them from shifting the cost of losses in other states onto Illinois consumers. The new law comes a little more than a year after Illinois-based State Farm announced it was raising homeowners' insurance rates an average of 27.2% statewide. They also come 2 years after Illinois motorists saw an average of 18% hikes on their auto rates, according to the Secretary of State, Alexei Giuliani. In both cases, insurance industry officials said the rate increases were necessary due to inflation, the rising cost of repairs, and, in the case of homeowners insurance, the increasing frequency of extreme weather. In addition, State Farm recently noted that auto insurance rates have been falling in Illinois and that it lowered its premiums by an average of 15% in 2025. Insurance Department Director Ann Gillespie agreed there are often legitimate reasons for rate increases, but she said the new law will help make sure that rate increases in the future are justified by reliable data. While no state legislation can fully eliminate these impacts to insurance premiums, these bills today hold insurance companies accountable for addressing their cost increases by requiring states to reflect Illinois-specific losses and considerations, she said. House Bill 4273, the homeowners insurance bill, requires companies to give their customers 60 days notice before raising premiums more than 10%. It also requires them to use credible, state-specific claims data to develop their rates when it is available. But companies will be able to supplement that data with national, regional, or out-of-state data if needed to meet actual standards of credibility. The companies will still be able to charge new rates once they are filed with the insurance department, but the new law gives the department authority to review these rates and order rebates of any excess premiums collected if the rates are found to be excessive or unfairly discriminatory. Senate Bill 714, the auto insurance bill, requires companies to give customers 30 days notice before raising premiums more than 10%. It also gives the department authority to review rates and order rebates if the rates are found to be excessive or unfairly discriminatory. Giuliani pushed for that bill, criticizing companies for basing rates on factors unrelated to a person's driving record, such as their credit score or their zip code. But while these practices are not specifically prohibited in the final legislation, the new law does ban rates that are unfairly discriminatory. Far too many Illinois families have the cost of mandatory auto insurance that has become absolutely unsustainable, forcing impossible choices between paying for coverage and paying for life's basic necessities, Giuliani said at the bill signing ceremony. That's not just a financial burden. It puts more uninsured drivers on the road, and it makes our road and our communities less safe. Insurance industries and organizers, however, remain opposed to the new laws. In a joint statement issued after the bill signing, the Illinois Insurance Association, the American Property Casualty Insurance Association, and the National Association of Mutual Insurance Companies warned the new laws will lead to higher costs and fewer choices in the insurance market because they do not address the economic realities behind premium increases. Instead, the laws oppose a fundamental shift in Illinois' regulatory environment, moving the state towards a more rigid state and rate approval system similar to struggling insurance markets like California, the organization said. This shift will make it harder for insurers to respond in real time to market conditions and adjust rates up or down based on actual claims experience. Pritzker, however, dismissed the industry's criticism. It's silly to suggest that this is going to raise rates across the board, he said. What's raising rates are when insurance companies are simply putting out their bills that people can't afford, and they don't have any relationship to what's actually happening on the ground. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide. It is funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. Moving on now to some world news. A deal may give Iran control of Strait entry. Mideast war, Parisha Hevesi and Timur Azari. 2 hours ago. Dubai. A proposed deal between Iran and Oman would give Tehran control over ships entering the Gulf through the Strait of Hormuz, a senior Iranian source and two regional officials told Reuters on Wednesday in one of the biggest concessions yet to Iran. Despite the apparent step toward yielding to Iranian demands, the sources pushed back against assertions by U.S. President Donald Trump that a deal reopening the strait was imminent, saying important details still had to be agreed. The concession has already been made regarding some form of control over Hormuz, one of the regional sources told Reuters. The other regional source said there were still details to be determined about how control would be defined, with Gulf negotiators insisting that regional countries supervise inspections of ships and that any payment of fees be voluntary. The senior Iranian source said that the text of an agreement already on the table envisioned Iran having control of ships heading into the Gulf through the Strait, and one of the main sticking points was what role Iran would also have over ships heading in the opposite direction. There was no immediate reply from Washington to the disclosures about the proposed agreement. U.S. officials repeatedly claimed that they would never accept an arrangement that lets Iran control access to the world's most important trade route for energy supplies. But Trump and senior officials in his administration said in recent days that a deal is imminent to end the war he launched in February, which polls show most U.S. voters oppose. Oil prices. Oil prices ticked higher Wednesday after the Iran-aligned Houthi movement in Yemen and said it fired on a Saudi-flagged tanker in the Red Sea, the latest attack on Middle East shipping that has disrupted global energy supplies. But global crude prices remain close to their lowest levels since early July, having plunged sharply over the past 2 days after Trump called off fresh attacks on Iran, citing new talks that he said could end the conflict. While there are no direct talks between Tehran and Washington, Iran has been negotiating with Oman, which controls the opposite shore of the strait. Iran rejected an earlier Omani proposal last week as giving it too little say. Trump told Fox News overnight that talks were quote-unquote moving nicely and an all-day negotiation took place on Tuesday. After the weekend, Trump cited that the negotiations were the reason for a decision to call off plans for massive attacks on Iran, a pattern repeated numerous times throughout the war. The senior Iranian source downplayed the suggestion that a deal would be finalized quickly, noting that Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi was on holiday. Talks are continuing, but it is too early to say that a deal with Oman has been finalized. Another Iranian source said, "The devil is in the details. A single tweet from Trump could cause the whole thing to collapse." An agreement that gives Iran any control over access to the strait would mean the war launched by the United States and Israel resulted in a major shift in the balance of regional power in Tehran's favor. Before the war, the strait was freely open to all ships with no fees. But Trump, who initially said, quote-unquote, Operation Epic Fury, would end in Iran's unconditional surrender, with him approving of The choice of its leader has been under pressure to find a way out of a war U.S. voters now oppose 2-1. According to the senior Iranian official, Iran seeks fees of between 5% to 7% of the price of cargoes from ships using the strait. Oman was discussing smaller fees of about 3%, while Washington wants no fees at all. Making any fees voluntary, at least nominally, could be a way out of the impasse, though an implied threat of Iranian attacks could mean shippers would be unlikely to risk the transit without paying. Months of U.S. military efforts, including a two-week campaign of strikes in July, have not broken Iran's grip on the strait. U.S. commanders advised Trump in July that they were running low on supplies of some munitions. Reuters reported on Tuesday that the United States Army had used up nearly all of its long-range precision missiles. Periodic U.S. military escalations have been met by stronger responses from Iran and its proxies, including the Houthi fighters who control much of Yemen, as well as a second major regional shipping choke point at the mouth of the Red Sea. Moving on now to some appellate news. Sex offense sentence overturned by Caitlin Klepek 2 hours ago. Bloomington. The appellate court has thrown out a 90-year sentence for a man convicted of sexually assaulting a minor in McLean County, finding the state failed to prove quote-unquote skin-to-skin contact occurred. Anthony J. Love, 37, of Bloomington, was sentenced in June of 2025 to 90 years in prison after a McLean County jury found him guilty of 2 counts of predatory criminal sexual assault and 1 count of attempted predatory criminal sexual assault of a victim younger than 13. Love's first trial in January of 2025 resulted in a hung jury after nearly 14 hours of deliberations. He was tried again in April, and the McLean County jury found him guilty of all charges. Judge Jason Chambers sentenced him to 45 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections for each Class X assault charge and 12 years for the Class 1 attempted assault. He ordered the 45-year sentences to be served consecutively with the 12-year term served concurrently for a total of 90 years. Love was eligible to serve between 12 and 135 years in prison. However, the 4th District Appellate Court of Illinois issued a ruling July 14th, reducing Love's conviction charges and sending the case back to the trial court judge for resentencing. According to the 27-page ruling penned by Justice Thomas Harris, the panel of appellate court justices found Love's charges to be reduced from predatory criminal sexual assault of a child to aggravated criminal sexual abuse, a Class 2 felony. Justices James Nett and David Vancel concurred with the ruling as written. The defendant's appeals argued that the state had presented insufficient evidence to support convictions for predatory criminal sexual assault of a child. Love also said that the trial court had violated criminal code by admitting evidence of secretly recorded phone calls, which should have been barred by eavesdropping statutes, and quote-unquote erred in allowing the state to admit into evidence sexually charged text messages which were sent to the victim's mother. The court's imposition of a 90-year prison sentence was excessive, Harris wrote. Love's new sentence will fall 3 to 7 years for each of the 2 Class 2 felonies of aggravated criminal sexual abuse, which are discretionary consecutive, meaning the judge will decide whether the sentences will run concurrently or consecutively. The 12-year sentence for attempted predatory criminal sexual assault remains unchanged. McLean County State's Attorney Erica Reynolds declined to comment on the appellate ruling, noting that the case is still pending. A new sentencing date has not yet been scheduled. How time flies. 100 years ago, on August the 6th of 1926, on Wednesday, August 25th, will be written as the final chapter in a story of financing by Bloomington Chamber of Commerce, which brought the most impressive returns from the investment in the industrial history of the community, with possibly one exception, the Chicago and Alton shops. The Association of Commerce is purchasing the 54-acre tract of land east of the Illinois Central Railroad and south of Oakland Avenue. 75 years ago, today in 1951, mud, thick, greasy, and 5 inches deep on August the 5th slowed activities at the McLean County Fair to a crawl on opening day. Many truck and car drivers grunted and puffed to free trapped vehicles. A 2-inch rainfall during the night caused this problem. 50 years ago, today in 1976, 87 normal homeowners whose properties were found to have illegal sewer connections have been given 3 months to correct them. The Normal Public Works Department this week sent the notices to homeowners in the Lincoln area north of Pine Street between Walnut and Beach Streets. 25 years ago today, in 2001, members of the Central Catholic High School Jazz Band and Jazz Choir have returned from an 8-day tour of France and Switzerland. 33 students and 10 parent chaperones toured and performed in numerous locations, including Venice, France, and Ballenberg, Switzerland. Guest vocalist Tara Johnson, a CCSH graduate and a student at Berklee School of Music in Boston, accompanied the students. Moving on now to today's flick fact. Question: the second floor of popular downtown restaurant Effany Farms is Andrea Above, an Asian fusion eatery that opened 12 years ago that had been the loft. But do you know what occupied that space even before the loft? Answer: before becoming Andrea Above in 2014 and before that, the loft was Bogey's until 2001 and earlier still Bogey's Firehouse. It was named that because the building until 1975 housed Bloomington Central Fire Station. Moving on now to a crime and court spotlight. Normal officers make 5 arrests and issued 261 citations in July speed awareness campaign by Caitlin Klepek 3 hours ago. Normal. The Normal Police Department participated in a speed awareness campaign throughout the month of July, resulting in 274 traffic stops, 261 citations, and 5 arrests. According to a news release, officers conducted 40 directed enforcement details, resulting in more than 206 hours dedicated to speed enforcement in areas identified through traffic complaints, crash data, and officer observation. The citations included 238 for speeding, 4 for distracted driving, and 24 for other traffic violations. Officers also made several arrests, including 1 for driving under the influence of alcohol, 2 involving a hit-and-run crash and possession of cannabis, 2 for possession of methamphetamine and unlawful use of a weapon. And the Normal Police Department reminds motorists that even small reductions in speed can significantly reduce the likelihood and severity of crashes. Drivers are encouraged to obey posted speed limits, eliminate distractions, and always drive safely and responsibly. The July Speed Awareness Campaign was funded by federal highway safety funds administered by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Moving on now to Bloomington's 5-day forecast. Tonight, we have a stray evening thunderstorm, wind southeast 4 to 8 miles per hour, 67 degrees is a low. Friday, partly sunny and humid, wind south to southwest 6 to 12 miles per hour, with a high of 82 and a low of 67. Saturday, partly sunny and humid, wind west 6 to 12 miles per hour with a high of 86 and a low of 69. Sunday, humid, breezy in the evening with wind south 8 to 16 miles per hour. 86 degrees is the high, 71 is the low. And Monday, a morning thunderstorm or two, possibly some wind south to southwest 8 to 16 miles per hour. 88 degrees is the high with 69 the low.